You know, forgiveness is a major theme of the fall feasts, and especially Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And during the season, we hear a lot about sin and repentance and pride and judging. I did a message on judging and on grace, on forgiveness and humbling oneself. You know, these are all important issues of the heart that will really determine the level of our spiritual growth and our freedom as we walk in believers. So when we gather together, you know, for these God's appointed times, they're not just kind of, we don't just read through liturgy and we're not just, you know, learning about the importance of this feast, but it's really a heart issue. God really wants to do work in our hearts. You know, God really wants to meet with us, God's appointment. His appointed times are to meet with His people and to get our hearts right with Him and to get our hearts right with each other. And so God provides opportunity for us to do that in the context of these feasts. And especially during the fall season when we really, the whole theme of it is humbling ourselves, repentance, and so forth. And there's a scripture in Hosea 6. It says, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal. He has wounded us, but He will bind us up. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up, that we may live in His sight. So let us know, let us press on to know Him. For His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and He'll come to us like the rain, just like the spring rain watering the earth. A time of great refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord." So it's a time for us to return to Him and to press on to know Him in a deeper way. You know, there are a number of traditional prayers of forgiveness that we'll be praying during the High Holiday services. On Rosh Hashanah, we will be praying the Avinu Melcheinu prayer, "Our Father, our King." On Yom Kippur, we'll pray the Ochet prayer, which identifies 44 types of sin that we will confess as a corporate community together. And so it's really the time of the year when we make every effort to wipe the slate clean so that we can be fresh, that we can be cleansed, so that we can be renewed and we can begin fresh again for another year and for another congregation. Because sometimes in the life of a congregation, life of building a community, you know, we have issues with each other, we offend one another, you know, we have relationship challenges, and so, you know, lots of times we never do anything about them. We just ignore them or we avoid people, you know, but that's not God's plan. That's not God's heart. He wants us to deal with issues of the heart. He wants us to reconcile with one another. And so if we have issues one with another, you know, it's time for us to really grow up and to really begin to take responsibility for our part in something that may have happened and to do everything we can to restore our relationship, because, you know, there's a real freedom that we experience, you know, that when we make sure when we have a heart that is right before God and before man. So this morning I wanted to speak on overcoming offense with a forgiving heart, because forgiveness is a character or an attribute of God's character. When Yeshua hung upon the tree, one of His last words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In Yeshua's 3.5 years of ministry, He experienced every human emotion known to man. He was despised. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, as Isaiah 53 says. He was wrongly judged. He was misunderstood. He was betrayed. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was physically mistreated. He was spat upon. He was tried unjustly. Isaiah 53 says, "As a lamb led to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearers is silent, He did not open His mouth. He had done no violence. There was any deceit found in His mouth. While being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept and trusted Himself to Him who judges righteously." As Yeshua was in agony, bleeding, suffering, and dying on the tree, bearing the sins of the world, He was still able to say the words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So the bottom line is that if Yeshua was willing to forgive us for all that was done against Him, how much more should we be willing to forgive others for what they may have done against us? You see, the gospel is the only story where the hero dies for the villain. He died for those who hated him. He died for those who were enemies. And it's really God's amazing grace that He gave Him His very life to us. Yeshua taught the importance of forgiveness in several passages in the Gospels. And as I said, forgiveness is not automatic. There are conditions. Because Yeshua said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins either. And then Mark 11:25, it tells us, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And in Colossians 3 it says, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Messiah forgave you, so you also must do. So Yeshua made it very clear. If we don't forgive others, He won't forgive us. And so forgiveness is not really automatic, is it? You know, God is grieved in His heart. We quench His spirit when we hold on to unforgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the most important truths in our spiritual walk. And yet it's one of the most difficult truths to practice. Our unwillingness to humble ourselves before others and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Please forgive me. It's one of the greatest hindrances to our faith. And yet it can be the most liberating. There's tremendous freedom, there's joy and peace when we have a heart that is willing to forgive. That's not willing to hold on to offense. It says in Galatians 5 that we just stand fast in the freedom by which Messiah has made us free, do not become entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Well, unforgiveness can be a yoke of bondage. Unforgiveness can bind us and hold us to the past and hold us onto the hurt. And that's why a lot of people who are hurting today, you know, is because they have a difficult time forgiving someone in the past that has hurt them. And one of the first attributes that God revealed about Himself to Moses was forgiveness. As we read earlier in our reading from Exodus 34, the main theme of the Sukkot service is reciting the 13 attributes, which really expresses God's heart. The Lord said, Lord Adonai, be merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. By no means cleansing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children, the third and fourth generation. You know, according to Jewish writings, when Adonai appeared to Moses, he taught them these 13 attributes, saying, whenever Israel sins, let them pray these attributes and I will forgive them. If they're prayed out of a sincere heart. And so it appeals to God's mercy and assures us that repentance is always available, that Adonai is always waiting for us to return to Him if we come with a sincere, humble, and a contrite heart. So if our Lord is a forgiving God who is compassionate and gracious, abounding loving kindness and truth, should we not walk in the same attitude towards others and be willing to forgive one another? Shul tells us in Ephesians 4, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, as Messiah, has forgiven you. You know, forgiveness is a gift from God. And one of the most important truths, remember, is that the beginning point of our salvation was when Adonai first forgave us. That's how we had entrance into the kingdom of God, was through forgiveness. God does not accept anyone into His kingdom based on how good they were in this life. You know, there are many good and moral people today who live wholesome lives and who are great humanitarians. but they're not believers. And Adonai only accepts those into his kingdom who believe in his Son and who have been forgiven. When we repented and when we confessed our sin and put a faith and trust in Yeshua, we are forgiven. And we are allowed access into his kingdom. And Adonai stamped on our heavenly passport the words forgiven. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Enter in the joy of my kingdom. And that's the hope that we have. You know how wonderful it is to know that we are children of God, that God has a place for us in heaven because we have been forgiven. When we were born again and became a new creation, Adonai gave us a new heart. And it bears the image of the heavenly. And part of the image is the ability to forgive others. For if God so loved the world that he forgave us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, why do we find it so difficult to forgive others? You know, Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15 is a strong warning of what forgiveness can do. It says, pursue shalom. I think that's pursue shalom with everyone, and the holiness with which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. And see to it that no bitter root springs up and causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. You know, the word springing up in the Greek means to germinate, to sprout, to produce. A heart that is unwilling to forgive and holds on to offense is like someone who plants seeds in a soil of unforgiveness. And the fruit of an unforgiving heart will produce hurt and pride and anger and bitterness and criticism and resentment. You know, how many of God's people have lost their calling, effectiveness, and even their own life because of their unwillingness to deal with offense and their relationship with others? Let me share the story of one person who had that experience in the scriptures. His name was Absalom, the son of King David. Absalom, it says, he was one of the most handsome, promising, and potential kings in Israel. But he lost everything because he could not deal with his offense. When his sister was defiled, he wanted to seek revenge. He was angry with Amon, who defiled his sister. And so when his father David did not take action when he should have, Absalom became hurt and offended with his father. See, when someone is offended, the tendency is to speak negatively to others. That's what's called gossip. And this was the case with Absalom. He began to turn the people's hearts away from the king. It tells us in 2 Samuel 15, Absalom stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. He stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. A heart that's offended and wounded can become a heart of rebellion. And because Absalom did not deal with his offenses, he rebelled against the king, his own father. And in the process, he lost his calling, his potential kingship, and even his own life. It was all rooted in his unwillingness to deal with his unforgiveness. But no, David really had a part in this as well. If David would have acted more like a father and been more sensitive to his son and discussed this issue and was willing to reconcile with him, Absalom would never have rebelled against his father and lost his life. He longed for the forgiveness of his father, and he did not receive it. Now, how many relationships in the past year have been ruined because of unreconciled differences? Isn't this the cause of many divorces today? Irreconcilable differences? How many marriages have been wounded or destroyed because of an unwillingness to forgive each other? How many sons and daughter relationships with their parents have been damaged because of the pride and stubbornness of a parent who held on to offense and refused to forgive, or husband or wife who refused to forgive their spouse for something that they may have done? How many sons or daughters have acted in rebellion against their parents because they've lost their respect for their father or their mother because of some issue they may have experienced? You know, there was a story, I've shared this before. There was a Spanish story of a father and a son who were on bad terms, and they were upset with each other. The son ran away, And the father became deeply concerned for the safety of his son. He set off to find him. He searched for months, but to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate attempt to find him, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. And the ad read, "Dear Francisco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 Francisco showed up, looking for forgiveness and love from the father. You know, that's sad. You know, Carl Menninger, a famous psychiatrist, once said that if we could just convince the patients in psychiatric hospitals that their sins were forgiven, 75% of them would walk out the next day. So a lot of people are bound in unforgiveness. And that's why we often, you know, a lot of sickness, you can trace a lot of sickness. A lot of people come forward for healing, you know, come forward to be set free from sickness, not realizing there's issues in their heart. If they, you know, if they deal with those issues in their lives, they very well could experience healing. See, if we cannot overcome offense in our lives, we will stumble through life being bitter, resentful, angry, and hurt, wounded. We can't keep holding on to the past, holding on to grudges, grievances, and griping and grumbling. God really wants us to walk in freedom. He wants us to deal with issues in our lives. Because Yeshua said in Luke 17, it's impossible that no offenses should come. And I say this every year. But I need to be reminded of, we need to remind us every year that it's impossible for us to go through a whole year without offending somebody. Just look around the room. Is there someone in this room that you've offended this past year? I'm sure if we're honest with ourselves, we would say, yeah, I'm guilty as charged. You know, I have offended somebody. I've said something that I shouldn't have said. Have you gone to that person and have you asked forgiveness? Have you dealt with the issue? He said, well, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm not going to bother. That's not the kind of heart that God's looking for. He wants someone who's willing to own up to what you have done, because that helps to strengthen a community of believers when we are walking together in unity, because God said that when we walk in unity, that He will command a blessing. And so if we are a congregation, you know, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. If we are walking in unity of heart and of spirit, God will command a blessing to come upon us. That's His promise. He says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Yeshua says it's impossible to go through life without being offended. And even if someone is a repeat offender, we still have a responsibility to forgive them if they honestly repent. To forgive someone over and over again is not sloppy agape love. It's practicing God's unconditional love. How many times do we sin and God forgives us? Seven times seven? I would say 70 times seven. And we all sin many times. We ask God to forgive us. So how much more should we be willing to forgive others? The word forgive means to be gracious. We're to extend grace to others as God extended grace to us. We are undeserving. And we've been showered with God's abundant grace through the Messiah. We in turn are to give to another undeserving people who sinned against us the same outpouring of God's love, grace, and forgiveness He gave to us. But you know, forgiveness is incomplete without repentance. Forgiveness is the fruit of repentance. Repentance is the first step, acknowledging our sin. And forgiveness is asking forgiveness for the sin that you committed. And that's why repentance is a door into experiencing God's forgiveness. It's not enough to just say, I'm sorry. When asking forgiveness, you must confess, acknowledge your sin. Asking forgiveness is taking ownership and responsibility for what you did that was wrong. You know, the scripture that we read all the time, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A person who judges others, who is quick to judge, who holds on to grudges, who is bitter and critical, it's usually an indication that there's unforgiveness in their heart, that there's something in their lives that they need to deal with. See, unconfessed And unforgiven sin produces a hardness in the heart. You know, hardening of the arteries prevents the flow of blood to the body. It can result in a stroke or even death. In like manner, hardening of the heart because of unforgiveness will prevent the flow of the Spirit through our lives. It will quench and grieve the Spirit of God from really helping us to walk in the fullness of His presence and His Spirit. And it says, because of your sin, it's caused a separation between you and your God, and He does not hear you. You know, I want to just kind of close with just some practical steps. I've shared this before on forgiveness. Now, first, number one important truth is that forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. A choice you have to make over and over every day until you're free of the hurt. And so it's the first step. Forgiveness then is something that you choose to do even if you don't feel like doing it. If you're offended because of something someone did to you, you will never feel like forgiving them. No one likes to feel like they really want to forgive somebody. But you know that it's the right thing to do. Forgiveness is a choice, a decision you make in your heart. It's not based on your feelings as such. It's a choice to release others and yourself from the sin that is holding both of you in bondage. We think that forgiveness is weakness, but it's not. It takes strength, a strong person to forgive. Forgiveness is not weakness, it's strength. And I really admire those people who are willing to own up to their sin and to go and ask for forgiveness. You know, I really respect people, you know, who really are willing to come and say, I'm sorry, forgive me. And that's something, and that's showing strength of character when a person is willing to do that. And then forgiveness is letting go of the anger. At times it feels more painful than the wound we suffered to forgive the ones who caused it. Yet there is no peace without forgiveness. Forgiveness means letting go of the anger and the desire for revenge. Forgiveness is an act of mercy towards the offender. Sometimes when we are upset with someone, we say to ourselves, he doesn't deserve to be forgiven. Well, you know, none of us deserve to be forgiven. That's what grace is. Receiving something that you don't deserve. Forgiveness is not earned. It's a gift. If a person could earn forgiveness, he wouldn't need it in the first place. It's a gift of mercy that we give to someone who has hurt you. And so forgiveness is making a conscious decision to live in the present, even if the past still hurts. And then the question is forgiveness a one-time event or is it a process? So the true mark of maturity is when somebody hurts you and you try to understand their situation instead of trying to hurt them back. It's not a one-time event. C.S. Martin Luther King said, forgiveness is not an occasional act if it is a continual attitude. So sometimes when you ask forgiveness, sometimes it needs to be repeated more than once until you get the release of the Spirit in your heart. And so how do you know that you... How do you know when you've really forgiven somebody? You know, there's some things that it tells us here. Before I get to that point here. Forgiveness is not a way to manipulate someone to reconcile with you. You know, I forgave you, now you have to forgive me. No one can force another person to reconcile. It must come from the heart, this working of the Spirit. Yeah, the point I was trying to get is that when you've forgiven someone is that you're no longer thinking or talking about it. It's no longer something that you're engaging in conversation about. You no longer need to feel the need to pay back someone for what they've done. The bitterness and anger is gone, and there's peace in your heart. And you can think about the other person who hurt you and wish them well and bless them and pray for them and have fellowship with them. You don't mind being in their presence. Those are the indication that you've forgiven. But it's important to understand what forgiveness is not. It is not denying the evil that was done. It's not excusing sinful behavior. It's not pretending it never happened. It's not glossing over the pain you suffered. It's not removing all the consequences for wrong behavior. It's not approving of evil. It's not condoning abuse and pretending you weren't hurt. There are consequences to one's actions. And just because we may forgive someone who mistreated us does not mean that there will not be ongoing consequences that both parties may have to experience. And then just realizing that sometimes forgiveness may not lead to reconciliation. And Matthew 18 describes the process of how we are to deal with it. Forgiveness is one thing, reconciliation is something else. I know there's times where I've tried to reconcile with somebody, and I've gone through the whole process of reconciliation, and you know, they still were not willing to forgive me. I can't do anything about it. That's something they have to choose to do. But I know that I made every effort on my part to ask for forgiveness. And so I know my heart is right before God. But it's they're the ones that have to make that choice to respond. And so sometimes there may just be situations where that person is not willing to forgive. You just have to leave that in God's hands and trust that God will work in that person's heart and bring them to a point where they're willing to reconcile. What about the person who says, I can forgive, but I cannot forget? Have you heard that before? Now, we all understand that when God forgave us, He blotted out our sin and put them behind us and cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. God's forgiveness means that He chooses not to remember our sins and hold them against us. We can choose not to forgive and choose not to remember the sins that were held against us. Because forgiveness is a choice we make. Forgiveness is a means that we choose not to remember and hold that against that person. There's a difference between not remembering, between remembering and dwelling on it. Forgiveness means that we choose not to dwell on those things that caused us hurt in the past. And so as believers, we're called to walk in humility with one another. And our goal is to be of one heart and one mind. And one of the greatest downfalls in every congregation is how we speak to each other. Our words can bring life or death into a community. So we're called to build up and not tear down. We're called to encourage and not discourage. We're called to speak blessing and not curses. We're called to love and not to hate. We're called to sow peace and not discord. We're called to walk in grace and not judgment. We're called to be humble and not proud. And we're commanded to love one another and forgive one another. And so during this fall season, I really encourage you to continue to pray that God would examine your hearts and pray that Adonai will remove anything offensive from your life. It's a time of rededication, and I challenge you, each one of you, to recommit your life to Adonai. It's a time to repent and return and pray that He will help you to learn how to forgive if this is an area that you struggle with. And let me just close with the scripture from Psalms 139. Search me, O God. And I shared this at the beginning of the month of Elul. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any offensive way within me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So, Father, we just come into your presence today. Lord, we pray that you would search our hearts and examine us. Lord, if there's any offensive way in us, Lord, if there's anyone that we have issues with that are unreconciled or unresolved, Lord, that we would take the path of maturity and we would go to that person, whether it be a spouse, Father, whether it be a brother, sister, a family member, a member within our own congregation, Lord, that we would just make it our special effort to go and to seek reconciliation. Father, we know that you're looking for hearts that are willing to forgive. Lord, you so loved the world that you forgave. Would God help us to walk with that same heart of forgiveness with others. Lord, there's tremendous freedom when we walk in forgiveness and we obey your word and that you command the blessing to come upon us when we walk in unity one with another. And so, God, we pray that during this season, as we draw near to Rosh Hashanah, Lord God, may we truly come to that point in our hearts where we would really truly seek your will and your favor in our life. And Lord, we want our congregation to be one where your anointing, your presence is evident, Father. When people come into this place, they know that the presence of God is here. And Lord, even during the time of Oneg, when we fellowship together, Lord, may our conversation be edifying and uplifting. That we will not be guilty of gossiping or speaking evil of one another. But Lord God, we will encourage and build up one another. And we thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. We pray, Father, for our people Israel. Lord, continue to open their eyes. Lord, during this season, Lord, open their eyes and help them to see where their true atonement lies. Not in the works of righteousness which they have done, but Lord, according to your mercy and your grace, Lord, you saved us and you redeemed us. So we thank you for this gift of salvation. We pray, God, for your blessing, God, upon each one of us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, do we have a closing song there? And we just invite everyone to stand together. And we just want to, as we do each week, if there's anyone that needs prayer, we want to be available. If we can have some of our prayer team come forward and be willing to pray for people. If there are issues in your life that you need some prayer for, we want to be here to pray with you. Whatever your need might be, we just invite you to come. Just come and receive, you know, God's grace and His love and His forgiveness in your life, in Yeshua's name.